We hear again some of the verses from the appointed reading of Luke 5. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, Jesus asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." In the name of Jesus. Think of something routine, something that you know how to do, and you know how it will probably turn out. That's what we have a little bit in the text, something such as fishing. Fishing can be routine. A fisherman knows how to do it, use the right bait or fly, go to the stream at the best time of day where you know the water's running right, and you'll pull out maybe two or three trout because you know how it all works. Even at a lake, use the right bait, go to the right depth, in the best part of the lake, you'll get your fish. And then you go to the bar and brag about it, about how many you caught, maybe the measurement of the big one, and even about how other fishermen would not have done nearly as well as you did. It's all routine. Things work that way. Simon Peter knew fishing, and not just as a hobby, it was his business, his lifeblood. We know from later texts in Scripture, when we think about Peter, how brash he could be, even at times a bit of a braggart. So maybe we could think of how many times he must have reported in at the bar after a long day of fishing and bragged about his catch, about how a lesser fisherman could not have pulled it off. This time, for these fishermen, it had been a rough night. The fishermen working the two boats, they're skunked. Nothing to report to their buddies, nothing to brag about. Why no fish on this day? Who knows? Maybe a bad undercurrent. Maybe the water was changing temperature too quickly. Maybe a circling hawk spooked the fish. Who knows? Sometimes it just works out that way. Luke 5:4. And when he had finished speaking, Jesus said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. So Peter's response to that, Luke 5:8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." Peter, we know from later texts, is a proud man. And now we can think of what that means for his fishing. His whole life is in the fish business. He knows how to catch fish. He knows how to take credit for catching fish. And his identity is fixed to being known as a fisherman. If you take fishing from him, what do you leave him as in the community? A nothing. Jesus, in giving the great catch of fish, puts a lie to all of that. Jesus is not just doing miracles to impress. He's revealing much more. Jesus shows that he upholds all things. Those fish Peter was proud of catching on, say, that cold day 3 months ago when no other fisherman could figure out how to bring anything in, Peter must now see that not one fish caught over the years is in the net, except that Jesus accomplishes it. Every fish over all those years, caught by hard work, by wise planning, by rightly discerning the currents, every fish caught is by Jesus upholding all things of creation and having it so. So Peter, the one who bragged about his skill, who accomplished his identity with a successful fishing business, now sees that it was all, at every point, by gift from the Lord. He falls down to his knees. O Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. But Jesus is giving Peter a greater gift than the fish. He's giving him the gift of repentance and forgiveness, the gift of knowing that all things come from the Lord, gifts from his hand, all things, including Peter's good work ethic, including a mind able to form up plans for how to go about the day, a desire to build a business to support the family, a good day of fishing on the lake, all things gift from the Lord. But the gift is much greater than that. Jesus is revealing to Peter and the others who will be catching fish for the church. And this is comforting now for us. Because these fish Jesus is talking about are the sinners. We are the fish. Luke 5:10, and Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." Now, if we take that statement just on its own and ask who will be catching the fish, we would give the answer Peter and the other apostles. That's what Jesus said. You will be catching. That's what he says to the apostles for all time. But if we then think to what Jesus did right before this in providing the great catch, and then we ask the question, who's catching the fish? Even though it was Peter and the others pulling the nets, it's obvious it was Jesus. He provided the fish. Now, when Jesus makes Peter and the apostles fishers of men, who's to do the actual fishing? They're just doing what the Lord gives them to do. They're pulling the nets. Or in the case of sinners, they will be speaking Jesus' name. They will be forgiving sins in his name. They will be baptizing sinners into his name. They will be calling sinners to the body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. But it's Jesus at every point doing the work. And this is comforting for the sinner. It has to be. For although Jesus gives the church to hear absolution from the mouth of a pastor, that pastor is no more giving the absolution than Peter was putting those fish into the net. Jesus speaks sinners absolved. Only he can do that. He just does it by using the mouth of a pastor, a sinful pastor, whom Jesus has placed into a holy office. When you bring a baby to be baptized, you will see the pastor's hand pour the water and mouth speak the name, but it's Jesus. The pastor wouldn't have known to do it, except Jesus told him to. Look at Peter. Look at the apostles, sinners all. Look at the pastor, a sinner. But Jesus is working through those he sets into office. Just as he worked through the hands of Peter and the rest to bring in the fish, but no one, least of all Peter, after this great catch of fish, can be confused one bit. It's Jesus, start to finish, giving the gifts. When Jesus is giving the gift of the great catch of fish, as with his other miracles, he is not just revealing that he can do miracles. He's not revealing only that he has power over nature, that even the fish will follow his word. He is revealing something much more comforting than that. He does have all power over creation. Even the fish do follow his word. How can it be otherwise? Hebrews 1:3. God's Son is the radiance of the glory of God in the express image of his person, and he upholds all things by the word of his power. All things of this world, of this universe, all things of creation are daily upheld by Jesus speaking his word of power. His word by which he created all things with his Father, by this word he upholds the earth and the moon in their orbits. He has the rays of the sun evaporate the waters so that the clouds are formed and the rains given. He gives fertility to the animals of the field so that they reproduce. By his word, he has the fish streaking through the waters to find food. To our eyes, it's all routine. It seems predictable. Who doubts that the sun will come up tomorrow, or that the tomato plant will point itself to that light looking for photosynthesis? Who doubts that the fish will look for food? They always have. But no species created itself. No star in the sky formed up its own material and cast itself into orbit. And no fish determined that it would feed itself on flies buzzing in the air or plants at the bottom of the water. The Lord created by his word, and by his word, he is daily upholding and sustaining all of creation, including us. When Jesus gives the great catch of fish to these apostles, it is not to impress with his power. Rather, Jesus reveals, first, that he is the one upholding all creation by his word of power, so that the fish are serving his purpose when they're hiding from the fishermen or when they're jumping into the net. But in this, Jesus is revealing, second, that all creation is being upheld toward a purpose. Not a random event to show power. This event, worked by Jesus' word of power, is in service to Jesus, and specifically in service to what Jesus wants to give as gift to his apostles and then to the sinners. Everything is toward the cross, toward him dying, bearing the sins of the world, of every sinner. Everything is toward him, Jesus, having this gift proclaimed to sinners, so that by the preaching of the cross, Jesus is gathering sinners into his church as a fisherman pulling a net. In the name of Jesus, amen.